Today I want to speak to you on this subject, sow a seed, reap a harvest. Sometimes I remember here these interesting comparison here of these two men, Jonathan Edwards and Max Jukes. And I've read this before and I've used this before in messages in the bygone days here. But I thought I'd just take this just for a moment here to read this once again, how you and I can influence people for good or evil, how we can plant seeds today and reap a godly seed tomorrow and even down the road in our children and even in our great-grandchildren and grandchildren on down the road here. But there were two men here born about the same time and years ago, and they give a report here of 1,299 descendants of Max Jukes. This man here was a no-account horse thief of the last century. Because of the influence of Max upon his family, here's how his offspring turned out. 310 became vagrants. 440 lived in debauchery. 180 became prisoners, including 7 murderers. 100 were alcoholics. 60 were habitual thieves. And 190 females were prostitutes. That's the descendants of Max Jukes. That's the seed, the harvest from the seed that he sown in his life. Then we're introduced here to another man who grew up about the same time as Mr. Jukes, was a preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards. A study was done here to reveal that Jonathan Edwards had 1,400 descendants. Max Jukes had 1,299, just one shy of 1,300. Here, Jonathan Edwards had 1,400 descendants that they traced and studied their outcome. And 13 became college presidents, 65 were professors, 100 studied law, 1 was the dean of a law school, 30 became judges, 66 were physicians, 1 was a dean of a medical school, 8 held public office, 3 were United States senators, 3 became mayors of large cities, 3 were elected as governors, 1 was vice president of the United States, and 1 became controller of the U.S. Treasury. The lineage here of Max Jukes and Jonathan Edwards teach that we are the product of over 100 years of heritage, and that we are passing messages forward 100 years to our descendants about their values, attitudes, religion, and philosophy of life and what it should be. Yes, you sow a seed, and there will be a harvest. There will be a reaping day. And it's amazing here the different results of these two individual men. And we all have sown seeds that have not yet been harvested. And here in Galatians chapter 6, God mentions for us two kind of seeds. And I want to show you these seeds here. And we're going to look at a third kind that God can implement and God can plant in your garden and in your life in place of some of these seeds that you and I have passed or planted in our past. But aren't you glad? Thank God for the happy day Jesus came and saved your soul by the grace of God, washed you white in the red blood of Calvary, made you a child of God, a child of the King, and now is going to prepare a mansion for you, and heaven waits on us that are born again children of God. Amen or not. But listen, there have been some seeds that we have scattered along the way. There have been some things that we've done and been involved in that, listen, once we sit down and think about it and ponder upon it, we think, oh, dear God, I hope I don't see that again. How much you know there is a seed, we're going to see it here in a minute, that God can put in place of some of the bad seeds that we have planted in our life along the way. Look at these two seeds here in Galatians 6 right quick this morning. Number 1, write her down please. There is a corrupt seed. There's a bad seed. There's a wicked seed. There's a fleshly seed is what I'm talking about. He said in verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. He said these are seeds of the flesh. These are corrupt seeds. These are seeds that are planted by no fault in and of themselves. Listen, you ever heard someone say, I'm just sowing my wild oats? Or he is sowing his wild wild oaks. He's just painting the town red, so to speak, because of drunkenness. And that's what that expression means. But they're sowing wild oaks. I want you to know one day those old wild oaks are going to come up, friend. And they're going to come back and bite you. They're going to come back and haunt you. They're going to come back and taunt you. Listen, these, God says, are corrupt seeds. They're sown according to the flesh. They're carnal in nature. They're corrupt in nature. But then there's a second seed quickly here in verse 8. There is the choice seed, if you will. He said there, but he that soweth to the Spirit, capital S, speaking and referring to the Holy Spirit. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So listen, this is not a corrupt seed as the first part. This is a choice seed. This is a spiritual seed, if you will. In other words, this is a specific seed. This is something that is properly planted and properly placed in the heart, in the garden of our heart, in the garden of our home, in the garden of our lives. Listen, this corrupt seed is just scattered with no thought. We're just sowing seed as we go. Bad seed, corrupt seed, seeds of the flesh will reap corruption. He says these choice seeds are seeds that are sown in the Spirit of God. These are properly planted and properly placed seeds in our life. We pay attention to what's going on here when we plant the choice seeds that God brings out here. But may I say before we go a little further and deal with these two seeds, let's examine this for just a moment today. May I remind us that we all reap what we sow. Listen, you sow corn, you're going to get corn. Amen or not? Listen, you sow wheat, you're going to get wheat. You sow rye, you sow barley, you sow oats. Listen, you're going to get it, friend. We'll always reap, what we sow. We'll always reap later than the day that we've sown it. We'll always reap more than what we sow. And so, listen, we need to understand that today. May I say this morning that with sin, number one, there is a choice to make when it comes to sin. May I say this morning that mankind, you and I, we sin not by accident, not by happenstance. We sin not because the devil makes us do it, but we sin deliberately. We deliberately make a choice to yield to lust and enticement from the evil one. He said, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible says, for though there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will with the temptation to do evil, temptation to do sin, God will make a way of escape. We don't have to yield. We don't have to sin. Listen, we're no longer under sin. We're no longer under the law of sin. I don't know about you, but when God set me free when I was 17, years old, God broke the shackles of sin in my life and God set me free. And I don't have to sin, but if I do sin, it's my choice. I make that choice. You do too. We can't sit around like Flip Woodson and say the devil made me do it. Eve chose to disobey God. Adam chose to disobey God. Wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. We're all guilty before God. Sin is a choice. Number two, with these choices come consequences. I'm heading somewhere with this. There are consequences. You say, well, Pastor, I've been to Calvary. I've asked God to forgive me. And I've asked God to save me. And God saved me. Do you know what? Listen, we still have consequences of our choices that we've made in the past. Listen, a drunkard may get saved today. He may come walk the aisle today. And he may get saved by the grace of God. And next week die with cirrhosis of the liver. That's right. And listen, you can get saved by the grace of God, but because of the life that you live, you may next month, next year, die with AIDS. That's exactly right. There are consequences of sin, and America and the churches need to hear that again. Our children need to hear that. Mamas and daddies need to understand there are consequences to our choices. Listen, we can choose our sin, but we cannot choose our consequences. God doesn't lay the consequence buffet out and say, now you pick which consequence you want now with the sin you're about to commit. No, no, we make a choice and we can make the choice, but we cannot choose our consequence. But with sin, there are consequences that come along. There is the sowing. Now comes the reaping. Here in Galatians 6 and verse 8, he said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh. You're going to get back what you've sown. and the flesh reaps corruption. You sow to the Spirit, he said, you'll reap life everlasting. You see the sin, we see the deed in planting and the day of payment. R.G. Lee preached a great message, payday, someday. Remember there in 2 Samuel chapter 12, King David, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And she conceived, and in her womb was a little baby. And after David got it right with God, about a year later, that baby was born, that baby died. And God told David, said, the sword shall not depart from thine house. God said, listen, I'm going to deal with you, David. There are choices you've made. You've confessed it. I've forgiven you. But there are consequences that come along. And he paid fourfold. Read the life of David there. Read about his family. Read the heartache that David went through with Absalom and Tamar and all these different ones here that were in David's family. And David reaped what he sown. There were consequences to his choice. Now let's jump right in here, head first right here. Number one, write this down. Let's examine this corrupt seed here. Corrupt seed. We're all guilty of sowing corrupt seed today. This is seed that is scattered with no thought, no plan. People will say, well, Pastor Preacher, I'm just out here having fun, just living it up. You know, you only go through life one time. You're right, one time. And we're just sowing wild oaks. But may I say this morning, those wild oaks are going to come up one day. And they're going to stare you right in the eyes and you're going to say, would to God I'd never sown that seed. Would to God I'd never reap this harvest. I didn't know it was going to be this bad and this devastating, this destructive. Oh, if I'd have known this little seed would have caused so much trouble, I'd have never sown that seed of bitterness. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 that bitterness defileth many. But it started when an individual sown that seed of bitterness. And here we find that this corrupt seed, Joel, the Old Testament prophet, in Joel 1 verse 17 says, the seed is rotten. The seed is rotten. Your corrupt seeds that you're sowing are rotten. You know what these corrupt seeds produce? Write it down. They produce rotten fruit. Things that stink. Things that smell. Things that are undesirable and unbearable. These corrupt seeds bear corruption. The word corruption here in verse 8 means moral decay. You know what you and I get when we sow the seeds of the flesh? We're going to get moral decay. We're going to lose our blood. It's going to lose our shame. Listen, we'll get used to the dark and we'll lose moral decay. Look back, please, in chapter 5 of Galatians here and verse 16. He said, then walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. In other words, they come to a harvest. They come to a head. They come to a day of reaping. He said, they are like this. They are adulteries. It starts with an image in your heart, fellas. It starts with an image in your mind, ladies. And then this image is talked about, it's thought about, it's planned, and it's put in motion. And he said, the works of the flesh are adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. I won't take time to define all these terms here. We'll do that another time here. But I want you to know here, the corrupt seed is described. You know what? Seeds can be sown by our actions. By our actions. I'm talking about, listen, the way that we live can sow seeds by our action. Number two, we sow seeds by our accusations. Do you realize when you and I speak, listen, we're sowing seeds. Whether the corrupt seeds or choice seeds, we're sowing seeds with the words that we're saying. Listen, by the way that we live, listen, we sow seeds. Seeds come in forms of association. By the world in which we hang around with and live with, we're sowing seeds. May I say this morning, as a believer, sometimes thumbs and turns their nose up to verse 16 of Galatians 5 and chooses to sow the rotten seed, the corrupt seed. He therefore will reap a moral decay. You know what's killing a lot of homes in America today? You know what's destroying a lot of good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches of days gone by? Listen, it's moral decay. Moral decay is destroying our testimony. It's destroying our influence in our community. And remember, that's exactly what happened to Samson in Judges 16. I mean, he flaunted with sin. He flirted with the idea that he'd be just like any other man. He flirted with an individual called Delilah. And listen, he flirted with her. He teased her. He taunted her. And then he finally told her all of his heart. She shaved his head. He lost his power of God. Listen, lost his testimony, lost his two eyes, lost his touch of God. In the end, he lost his life. And they mocked his God. He lost the influence. You know why? Because he was out there sowing corrupt seed, moral decay. Look at the second thing quickly here. Move on. We see the corrupt seed, number three. We see the choice seed. Or number two, we see the choice seed. This choice seed, back in verse 8 of Galatians 6, is the soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. What does this mean? What is God talking about? This choice seed is specific seed, a spiritual seed. It's properly placed in our lives. And see, remember, the corrupt seed was after the flesh. After the flesh, it produces rotten fruit, decayed and depraved. But here we have choice seed that's after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What kind of fruit does it produce? Not rotten fruit, but it produces righteous fruit. Righteous fruit. Well, listen, with sin, choices, there always comes consequences. And there are those who bear in their minds, in their emotions, and even in their bodies, listen, the result of corrupt seeds of the past that were sown. Let me help you today. David's sin, he confessed to God, but yet he reaped the consequences in his children and his home. Yet God, I believe, has given us a remedy for that. And I want you to see some things. Look here in verse 8 again, Galatians 6, 8. I'm going to slow down a little bit because I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to leave here missing something. How can I sow to the Spirit? Galatians 6, 8. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Two ways, I believe. Number one, by being committed to the faith of the Son of God. Being committed in faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being committed. When you and I commit ourselves to something or to someone, preferably the Lord, and we commit ourselves to doing His will, we can sow seed, choice seed, in the Spirit. Not only by being committed, but number two, by being submitted. Submitted to the authority of God and the authority of God's Word. Submitted. If you and I are not committed and submitted to the will of God and the Word of God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to be planting a whole lot of corrupt seed that we're going to have a lot of harvest that we don't want in the barn. We don't want. I remember years ago, I let the pastor there and the farm grow up. I let it get real high because I was needing some hay. And I called, my daddy was living that time. He called some guys, that farmers, and brought their equipment over there. And they got in there and started mowing this pasture. Not the hay field, but the pasture. Got to mowing the pasture. And one of the old farmers got off his tractor, run up to the house, and knocked on the door and said, Kermit, my daddy's name, said, this is some bad grass down here in this field. You got bad grass. I thought, what in the world is bad grass? I thought all grass is good grass unless you have to mow it. Then it becomes bad grass. Amen. I mean, he said, I don't know if I want to put my tractor in there. I don't know if I want to expose my equipment to this bad grass because that seed's going to get on my equipment. Then I'm going to take it back to my farm. You understand what I'm transporting seed? He said, you got bad grass. So Daddy talked to him a little bit. And Daddy called me and I got my feathers ruffled a little bit because I didn't even know what he's talking about. I didn't know anything about bad grass. What it is that old wire grass. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, wire grass. That stuff grows when there is a drought. That's the only time it really grows, the dry and dusty time. And you probably got some of that in your yard. And just old wire grass, crab grass, whatever you want to call it, it's just bad grass. Well, they went ahead and baled it and went ahead and done that for them, but they had to clean their equipment off. You know, sometimes, listen, if we don't commit and submit to the authority of the Word of God and live according to the dictation of the Word of God, listen, then we're going to be planting a lot of bad seed that we don't want to harvest. Because whatever we plant, as he says here, we're going to reap it. Now, choice seed after the Spirit are some righteous, and they bring about righteous fruit. Look in verse 8 again. What do we reap in verse 8 when we sow to the Spirit? The Bible says here, you reap life everlasting. What does God mean by this? Now, you got to understand, Paul the Apostle is not talking to the lost people in Galatia. He's talking to the church of Galatia. He's talking to Christian people. They already got eternal life. Listen, when you and I trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, realizing that we're lost, He's the only Savior, we ask God to come in our heart and save us and turn from our sin and act of repentance. Jesus lives in our heart. At that very moment, we have a present possession of eternal life. Listen, they already had eternal life. So what is the apostle meaning here? What does God want us to see here? Listen, we can look at this and say, well, God says here we're going to have eternal life. Woohoo! Plant right seeds, we'll have eternal life. What is he saying here? He's not talking about the duration of life. He's not talking about the duration of life, but he's talking about the quality of life. In this life. He's talking about the quality of life, of the eternal life. Here, they already have, again, everlasting life at salvation. But he is speaking of the display of that everlasting life. In other words, while you're still living here on earth, let Jesus be seen in your life. That's what he's saying here. He said, people are going to look at your life, and you know what? The only area in the Gospels that God gives us permission to judge somebody is we judge a tree by what? The fruit they bear. That's the only time we've been given permission to judge anyone's. We judge people by the fruit we see. Is that right? And here God is saying here, people, the world is going to look at you and they're going to say, we know what kind of seeds you're sowing, old boy. You may be in the choir. You may be in the Sunday school room. You may be behind. But we see what kind of seed you've been sowing. You've been sowing some corrupt seed because you're reaping fleshly things. Over here, sister, we know what kind of seed you're sowing because we can see God in your life. You're sowing some choice seed. You see, that's what God's teaching here. God's teaching here, you live a life when people look at you, they're going to judge you by the fruits of your life. They're going to look at you, they're going to either say you're an apple tree or you're an orange tree. How do you know that? Because the fruit that hangs from your limbs, friend. How do you know that I'm sowing to the flesh? Because I can see it. You can see it. You'll know it in my life if I'm sowing to the flesh. You'll know it in my life if I'm sowing choice seed to the Spirit. Malachi 2:15, he says that he might seek a godly seed. Zechariah 8:12, for the seed shall be prosperous. You say, well, Pastor, I'm in trouble after hearing all this. I mean, listen, there are some things that I've sown that I do not want to reap. David said in Psalm 25, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. We've all acted in ways to where, listen, it'll make people blush. It'll make people draw up and cringe to hear some of the things, the seeds that we've planted. And we think, oh, dear God, if that principle is true, and it is true, that whatever we sow, we'll reap. Lord God, please. Well, I want you to write this third seed down, and I call it this. I call it not corrupt seed. I don't call it the choice seed, but I call it the consecrated seed. The word consecrated means devoted and dedicated. In other words, it's somebody who makes their mind up today right here, draw a line in the sand and say, by the help and grace of God, from this day forward, I'm going to be committed, dedicated, and devoted and consecrated to the holy things of God. Now listen, this is very important. Don't miss it because some of you are struggling right now. I can see it across the forehead. Some of you are thinking right now about your children, your grandchildren. You're thinking about what you've done. You're thinking maybe some of this stuff is true that I'm seeing in my children. I'm reaping it. What can I do to turn all that around? What can I do to turn the tide, turn the tables? I believe God gave this to me to help me, but I believe God gave it to me to help you too. Because we all struggle with this. Listen, all of us have a lot of corrupt seeds of our flesh. You see, the question the other day entered my mind and entered my heart, and I began to search for an answer. Is there any way that I might be able to, instead of reaping rotten fruit, is there any way that I might can reap some righteous fruit instead of the rotten fruit from the corrupt seeds that I've sown? Look at Hosea 10:12. I want you to read the first sentence with me, will you? We'll stop at the word mercy. You ready? Here we go. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in what? Mercy. God said, you sow, right? You consecrate yourself to the Lord. And you sow in righteousness. Righteousness, the word righteous has a thought of right living, holy living, dedicated, devoted to God, consecrated. That's why I call this consecrated seed. You say, oh God, I made a mess. Lord, there are things that I've done. Lord, I've not reaped them yet, Lord. I know you've forgiven my sin, the choices that I made, but God, I know there are consequences coming. Lord, please, God, I pray from this day forward, this moment, God, I dedicate, I devote my life to you. God, I'm going to live for you. And you live for God, love God. Listen, stay in the Word of God, stay in the house of God, stay in your prayer closet, walk with God, love Jesus. And God will look over the banister of heaven and say, for the righteousness you have sown, I'm not going to let you reap that rotten fruit that you should have reaped. God comes down to the garden, in the garden of my heart. God digged up that old corrupt seed, and God put some choice seed there and said, son, because you've loved me and you've lived for me and you've dedicated, you've devoted yourself. You've committed, you've submitted to me and my will and my word. I'll tell you what, I'm going to spare you some hurt, boy. I'm going to spare you some pain. You understand what God is saying here? He said, listen, you sow in righteousness and you're going to reap in mercy. We all have bad seed that we planted, do we not? We all have planted corrupt seed by the bushel, by the truckload. We know our sins are forgiven because sin is a choice and sin can be fast, but there are consequences to our sin. God said, listen, son, if you'll just live for me and love me, dedicate and devote yourself, commit yourself, submit yourself to my authority and my word, and you sow in righteous, you sow indeed, you sow in, he said, you'll reap mercy. We may not be able to undo, rewind, or pluck up, or pick up the seeds that have been sown, but in God's tender mercies, in God's loving kindness, we can live a holy, godly, consecrated life of righteousness. And when we live a holy, consecrated, godly life in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what we reap? Mercy is what I need, God. Mercy, oh God. Please, God, don't hold that seed. Don't hold that sentence. Don't hold it over the head of my children or my grandchildren. Oh God, please, give me mercy. Give me mercy. God said, you sow in righteousness, and that's what you'll get.